What's up, everybody? Welcome to We Have Cool Friends, the cool show where we interview our cool friends about the cool things they're doing. I'm Greg, and this is my cool friend, Major Nelson. Hello, Larry.
Cool. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I am great. I mean, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show, and it is a pleasure. You have such a stellar lineup of guests, and to be part of that fraternity slash sorority I'm honored.
Well, you know, if I can get into, you know, host mode here, of course, this kicks off Major Nelson's Kind of Funny Weekend. You're doing this right with me today on Thursday. Friday, you're hosting Games Daily with me. And then Saturday, you're on episode 3 of the Kind of Funny X-Cast.
So I got a question. Should I wear the same shirt for all 3 shows?
Sure. I like to keep everybody guessing as to when we recorded things. So yeah, wear the same exact outfit like you're a Simpsons character, they'll never know. It'll be great.
Whatever you say, you're the boss.
I'll tell you what now, Larry, this is the pre-show of this where we set up the thing, test the microphones, whatever. I think one of the hardest things for you and I to do, because we've been in the industry together forever, but we've only done like 1 or maybe 2 videos together. Right, we don't podcast that often together. So we're finally reunited and here we are. And you immediately are like, well, what are you playing? What's going on? What about this? Right. And we started telling stories and we had to stop.
Right, we did. It was like, stop. And that's a famous story because I've been, you know, we talked about, you and I have known each other for a long time. I've been in broadcasting my entire life. And it's a famous story that a lot of talk show hosts, they won't go see the guests before they go on the air. Like Letterman never did that. Because you lose the magic. You lose those moments. So, you know, you're like, no, stop. I want to say that on the air. That, you know, people like, and you and I are just like, we started the show before we hit record.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. When you're professionals like Greg Miller, Major Nelson, that's how it is. Yeah. You just get in there, you just go. That's what it's all about.
Always on, baby. When the red light's on, I'm on.
Woo-hoo! That's what we got to do. Before we get into the whole show, I'll remind you, everybody, this is We Have Cool Friends, our cool interview show that we do usually each and every Monday on youtube.com/kindoffunny and podcast services around the globe. Of course, on special days like this for Major Nelson's Kind of Funny Weekend, you get a bonus one. We already did one with Tim Schafer. You know him, Larry, from Xbox. Check him out. He was on Monday.
I watched it.
Yeah,
it was
great. You see his wife wanting to deliver mirrors in the middle of it. I'm like, calm down, everybody.
COVID. We're in this work from home scenario. Never know who, what, or how will walk through that door.
I know.
You just don't know.
You never know what's going to happen.
Door to open and a clown to come through.
Eventually it's only a matter of time before Lucy James comes out to get more coffee and then goes back in. And then my wife comes out to make bread or whatever else happens back there when I'm on a show. Remember, if you want to get the show early, if you want the show, not early, I guess, if you want it ad free, if you want to be part of the friend zone where the best friends write in with their questions for the guests, you can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Just like our Patreon producers, Mohammed, AKA Momo, and Al Tribesman, the Predator, did. Today we're brought to you by the Kind of Funny X-Cast, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, Major Nelson, how are you?
Oh, Greg, what a summer. What a year. 2020. This is the video game we didn't want.
I was going to say, I have to imagine you're there. You're at some swanky Xbox New Year's Eve party. You and Phil clink the glasses together at 12:01, and you're like, 2020 is going to be our year. You have a very different vision for what it's going to look like.
7 months later, it's here we are working from home, struggling. Do we wear pants or not each day?
That does seem to be the big problem. Yeah. For you, remind everybody who's tuning in. I guess that's why I always do the thing. I should still do it. I assume everybody knows you, but if they don't, Larry, what's the elevator pitch for Major Nelson?
Sure. So my name is Larry Herb. I joined Microsoft in 2001. I was formerly in radio and television production. And I joined Microsoft in 2001 to help them launch a fledgling music service because I had worked in the radio, so I knew all about, record deals and all that stuff. And they came to me and said, hey, do you want to come work with us? We're launching this thing. This is before iTunes, before Spotify or any of that. And I was working at Microsoft in 2001. And then right next to us in one of our buildings, we only had like 40,000 people back then, the company.
Only, no big deal.
Anyway, I think we're 130, 140 now. But in the next hallway, Greg, was this team that was working on cool stuff. And I remember I'd wait to go into a conference room and they were bringing all their stuff out, their PCs and their controllers. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And this was the Xbox team.
Yeah.
They were developing the next console right near us. And I got to know some of those folks, and then they moved offices. And about a year and a half later, I joined that team. This was after Xbox Live launched. And
If I can interject, what drove you to join that team? Was that like just a shakeup, or did you say like, I need to be a part of this?
Well, I saw a couple things. One was right when I was in the middle of the music product, MSN Music, iTunes launched. And for those of you that think iTunes was around forever, it wasn't. And iTunes launched, and then all of a sudden, everyone at Microsoft was like, uh-oh, that's a big deal.
And we need an answer.
We need an answer. And it was like, okay, you guys go figure that out. But I had always been a gamer. You know, I'm sure everybody on your show says that. You know, I'd been a gamer since, you know, the Atari 2600, the Atelevision, the Magnavox. I remember playing, I don't remember what the Hammurabi, I think, was the name. It was a text-based game back in the day. And so I'd always been to video games. And the fact that there was this, I was now with this tech company and they were working on a video game product. I was like, I gotta get in on that. What can I do to help? I like video games.
Video games are cool.
They're cool.
Yeah.
So I remember I came home and I went down there and they were looking for someone to, and I'll never forget this, Greg. When I interviewed for the job, the gentleman who was in, one of the people who was interviewing me said, well, kind of leaned back in his chair, what we want is we want someone to be the cruise director of Xbox Live. That was the original pitch.
The cruise director of Xbox Live. All
right. Right. And for those of you that have never been on a cruise, and I know that, you know.
Here it comes. So let me explain to you kids what a cruise is.
This is somebody who basically makes sure that everyone's having fun. Yeah. And certainly we have games, but I used to do, so I would, one of the original things I would do, and this is before Facebook and Twitter and all of this, I would do like this mystery gamer night where I would take somebody from the product team, the Xbox product team, and we would just randomly join games to play. And if you beat this person, you won a prize. Yeah. So I would do that. And we didn't have, you know, back Xbox Live was, you know, a few dozen games. It wasn't the hundreds that it is today.
Yeah.
So I would spin up and do different programming things like that. When we say programming, we mean, you know, stuff to do or stuff to watch. So that kind of took off and that became this thing. So I was sitting on the product team and I was just having a great time just talking about our stuff, getting on the forums. And then, you know, all of a sudden Twitter came out and I'm like, I should sign up for Twitter. That'll be big. And then about 2000,
you're a smarter man than me. I remember Twitter came out. I'm like, whatever, get out of here. This is stupid.
I'll tell you what happened was the reason I had to embrace it was because I signed up like everybody does. It's the gold rush for the first new .com. So you should grab your name, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember grabbing my name. And then a little while later, if you remember correctly, this was, and I'm sure this is documented on Wikipedia somewhere, you know, Xbox Live had this terrible, terrible holiday where we were having stability issues. And this was, I want to say 2007, maybe, and maybe 2008. And that was the moment where I was, the only way I could communicate with people was with Twitter. Hey, we're working on it. Engineers are aware, because the service was down. There was no real way to communicate out that way. So I'll never forget this is when the heads of Twitter, Jack Dorsey and I don't remember the other gentleman's name, they were doing interviews about this new thing called Twitter. They talked about us and me have the most active accounts because I was so busy updating people what was going on in real time. So
Does that feel like three lifetimes ago?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it was 10, 12, 13 years ago. Yeah. So it absolutely does.
Yeah.
So I started doing that. And then, you know, Xbox 360 was just such a monster hit. We had it was such the golden age. One of the best moments of my career to be part of the console before launch, to be able to influence great features like achievements. And sitting on that team and coming up with the ideas and then having them execute and then shipping Xbox 360 and having it just go be a rocket ship that I was strapped to and just like, oh, here we go. It was a blast, Greg. And that was one of what, you know, that was a time you can never relive again. And it's so different now than it is then. So everything just kind of happened. And all of a sudden now I'm the, you know, I'm like Xbox Live's Major Nelson. I'm kind of like the spokesperson on some regards to, for the Xbox team. And it's been a lot of fun. I'll tell you that.
You talk about, you know, it being this crazy experience to be able to walk in, sit down, have these conversations, have it actually influence what the console
what features millions of people will use is tremendous. I will never forget going into an office of one of our developers, and I sat down with her and I said, what do you do when you're working? Oh, she's working on parties. So she's working on parties, the party system before we shipped it.
Sure.
I said, what do we do this? And what's this? And wouldn't it be cool if we did this? And so I remember sitting here and she was coding it as we were talking about it. And it was just such an amazing experience.
In the moment, do you and does the team realize that you're doing something that doesn't happen often? Like, even if we're just going to say console launches in general, but to move it beyond that, building the backbone for what Xbox will become, what this console ecosystem as it is now will become. Like, is that resonating?
It does. I mean, when we sat down and we were, I'll never forget this. I told the story a few times. We're at the cafeteria at Microsoft and we're sitting with a bunch of engineers. And we came up with the idea of achievements.
Where does that idea start?
Right. And we were, I remember sitting at the table and talking to the folks. Michal was one of our program managers and was a developer over here, And we're like, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? And as you could complete the game, and then developers could decide what you did and how it was, and it could be this meta game. And it took off. And all of a sudden, a few years later, everybody's doing gamifying everything.
Sure. Yeah.
It was an amazing, amazing moment to be at the beginning, on the ground floor of that.
Compare that to working on Xbox One. Like, I mean, now, and obviously Xbox Series X coming up, I'm sure you can't tell me too much about that one. But like, is it the same thing for Xbox One, or even, I guess, to an extent, Series X, where you guys are this, well, not right now in 2020, but at the time, in a lunchroom talking, these are the ideas, we're running with it, we're doing it? Or do you feel like you're more, not, I don't want to say anchored or in your own lane or whatever, but like things aren't the Wild West like they were when you were still defining what Xbox was?
Yeah, I mean, so that's exactly right. I mean, when we started Xbox, when I joined the team in 2003, it was late 2003 or late 2004, I would walk into a room, Greg, a conference room, a good sized conference room, 30 people, 40 people. And that would be the entire Xbox Live team. That was it. We were all there, except for maybe the one or two people down in the operations center who were still making sure everything was online. So there was a certain nimbleness of having a small team and being able to do things and experiment. And we were moving fast and breaking things and the whole thing. Now, with Xbox Live being such this juggernaut and what it is, and gaming being, I mean, the fact that Phil Spencer reports to our CEO, and that any given day, Microsoft is the most valuable company on the planet. Sometimes it's Apple, sometimes it's Google, or Amazon. But to be in that stratosphere is extraordinary. And to the fact that we've got, we're now part of Microsoft's broader portfolio versus kind of this random, what are you guys doing down there? I mean, our office used to be at the end of a highway next to a gravel pit.
Going to the gravel pit or Xbox, you decide.
We were figuratively and literally off the radar of the main company. We didn't even have enough parking for everybody down there. We were growing so fast. So it was an unbelievable experience, the early days.
Those early days, obviously, it's the Wild West, like I already said. You can do whatever you want. You're coming up with all these cool ideas. Is there the feeling of like a sort of Damocles above your head? Like at any moment, they're going to cut this off. This is going to be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's so many moments I look back and I'm familiar and I'm intimately aware of the executive conversations that happened. Of do we do this? We had an unfortunate thing that happened with the Xbox 360 early on, which many people remember as the Red Ring of Death.
Sure.
And that was a real learning moment for the team. And I was on the calls when I heard about the numbers and what was going on. And I was like, oh, wow, this is, let's get that resume out. We're in trouble. but to the company's credit, they stuck with it. And they said, there's a problem here. We're going to fix it. We're going to do right by the customers. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
So it was an amazing moment. And that's when I realized that this company, everyone liked to call Microsoft evil in the 90s or the 2000s. No. I mean, I've worked here since 2001 and these are people that care about their products. They care about their customers. We put, now we talk about putting the gamer at the center. It's we're not stealing your data. We're not interested in, scraping your email to advertise to you. We're not doing any of that. We want to sell great products and services so that people can have a great time and learn, work, with our office suite and Windows and play with Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, I think this generation building to this moment for Series X, you guys have gone above and beyond to prove that. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I can't say enough nice things about Game Pass. I can't tell you enough how excited I am for xCloud. Like, it is these pro-consumer, pro-gamer choices that you're putting out. And I know that that even saying that, those terms have been sullied by corporations that have come before and suits that have said that. But like,
sure,
when Phil is talking about that, when you talk to the developers, when you talk to the team that is working on xCloud, right? And like, I remember at E3, I think right before I ran into you and we were talking at the stage and doing all the demos, like I got my xCloud demo and then I was like, hold on one second. And he ran over and brought back, I think he was like the head of the project. He's like, I'm a huge fan. I was like, oh my God, like you listen to our garbage? And it's like, that's the real thing. They're like, these are gamers there who are making these decisions. This are people who want to go home and play video games.
Well, to your point, when you announced and we were going back and forth on Twitter earlier this week and last week that I was coming on your show, my Teams was lighting up with people like, hey, you're going on the show. That's great. I'm a big fan. And it was, you know, it was EVPs. It was developers. It was everybody across the company around the world globally. You know, I had people pinging me from the UK going, you're really going on the show? That's great. I'm, of course I am. Now that Greg will have me.
Now I had to have an Xbox podcast to get you in. That's what it was. Right, that was the agreement. No, I think that's something that's lost all the time. And I think we talk about it a lot. And we've had conversations again as us, like industry pundits or whatever you want to call, you know, me and my co-hosts and collaborators. But there is this thing that's lost all the time that, even if you want to talk about, oh man, this CEO, whoever this person is, doesn't play games. They don't know. They're just in it for the bucks. The people below them love games. Like, you don't do this and work these hours and make these sacrifices to come in and be like, I just do it for a paycheck.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I've learned about this industry. We're passionate. First of all, when we have passion, you know, I'm one of the fortunate people that I'm at the intersection of my career and my hobby, where I just love it doesn't feel like work. I just love getting into this and rolling up my sleeves and talking about video games and working and building new cool products with our engineering team. And I'll tell you right now, if you don't already, add Phil Spencer on your friends list on Xbox Live. He plays games. He knows. When we sit in a meeting, he'll call anybody in the team on any BS. Well, I don't know if that's really true, or I'll tell you, I played this game and this is really good. Or he's hardcore. He is the gaming expert sitting at the executive table of Microsoft, and everybody knows that. Yeah. You know, Satya, our CEO, you know, sure, he understands gaming, but Phil's the expert. He'll turn to Phil and go, what do you think? You know, okay. And he'll trust him. That's a sign of a great leader.
We're jumping all over the timeline, but that's how good conversations go. For you, what was the read in the room? What was the excitement level, I guess, when it was announced that Phil was taking over? Like, you know what I mean? That was the thing. Yeah. We talked about the launch of the Xbox One and it not being perfect and not being where it should have been. And then to have Phil come in and be like, cool, I'm the gamer guy, let's go.
Well, first of all, I was lucky enough to be able to do that very first interview with him. And when they pulled me aside, and told me, I was like, this is great. I was like, this is awesome. And that's, everyone always asks why I've been at Microsoft and specifically Xbox, because I've had, you know, job offers from all over the industry.
I've tried to poach you multiple times.
And Game Over Larry just doesn't work as well. But when I look at, I have the privy and I have the position where I can look up the pipeline and I know where we're headed and I'm excited about it. So I'm like, why would I want to leave that? But to your point, I was so excited when Phil joined because, you know, we had a lot of work to do. As we like to say at Microsoft, we had nothing but opportunity. So it was so exciting. And sure enough, it's nothing that can be done in a day or a week or a month or frankly, even a year. It was a long road. And some of those early bets and some of them paid off. When we look at things like 2017 or 18, when we announced Game Pass, people are like, what are you doing? Totally. Now it's one of the greatest things ever. So.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's the best value in gaming. When you talk about that, is that how you think of the Xbox One launch too, of like, hey, there we took swings. These were the ideas we wanted to run with. And obviously not every idea pans out the way you want it to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's there's a lot of things, and some of them you know we're still working on, and they're a little bit longer. But I mean, this is Phil understands about gamers, and they just want great games. They just want to play games wherever they are and have great gaming experiences and great gaming moments. So I was just beyond thrilled when he joined the team. And because I've been at Microsoft and specifically Xbox for so long, I have this weird role, Greg, that's kind of horizontal. And what I mean by that is most people like, oh, I report to so-and-so and reports to so-and-so. And, you know, there's a very, you know, at most large companies, there's a chain of command, and there needs to be. But because I've been there, I kind of work horizontally in that I have no problem walking into Phil's office. I have access to him. I have access to all of our VPs and just, hey, how you doing? Hey, did you see this thing? Why are we doing it this way? Do you think we should move this pixel over here? So it's great to be able as somebody who works so much in the community, and I take this feedback and I find the right people. So I cherish that power that I have.
Are they all receptive to that? Like, is everybody saying, like, why are you in here? Why are you talking to me? Like, this isn't
they are because they want to learn and they want to understand. But most of them are like, yeah, I know, we know. That's we're gonna fix that. Most of them already know it. Because again, to your point, they're gamers.
Yeah.
You look at Phil, you look at Matt Booty, you look at Sarah Bond, who works in our business development. These are gamers. These are people that want great experiences. They want to bring you great experiences on Xbox.
So, again, there are people I'm seeing in the chat too who showed up like, they missed the beginning. Who's Larry? What is this?
Who is this guy? Why is he talking to this guy?
Who is this guy? He's not a cool friend. No, you gave the your whole history here, the whole nutshell approach to it. But like, what is right now in 2020 a Major Nelson day look like? Like, you're able to go bring community concerns, but are you scouring message boards? Are you filming stuff all the time? Are you off doing this? Are you just yelling at Jeff Rubenstein?
It's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. I mean, it's because, to your point, the work from home, I've lost that connection. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, I've got my Microsoft Teams open here, which for those of you who don't know is very similar to Slack. And I've got all of, you know, it's Jeff's at the top, followed by three of my PR people, followed by five engineers, Phil's down. So, I mean, I'm going back and forth talking to them. And if they're, you know, much like any IM, if they're green, I'll hit the call button. So I'll drop in on them. Hey, what's going on? Hey, got a question about why are we doing this or what's going on here? So it's a lot of that. It's a lot of planning. You know, I've got my own podcast. It's been around for 15, 16, 17 years.
15 years. What's that one called?
Well, you're right. Exactly. You know, it's the Major Nelson podcast. I started doing that sitting at my kitchen table by myself, and it blossomed into this. At the height of it, it was four or five, you know, guests. And now I do it all. Jeff and I do it on video on YouTube. And we get guests in. I have access to, you know, because of my role, I have access to engineers and people that, frankly, you probably wouldn't regularly see. So, I mean, I work on that part of it. I work on our strategy. We've got a lot of things coming up that I can't talk about that I'm working on. And I'm making sure
you could go ahead and talk about them. I'm not going to stop.
Oh, I could. I absolutely couldn't. As an old boss of mine would say, that'd be a hell of a thing to do on your last day. So, so I'm not going to do that today.
I understand.
But it's the day is varied. The day is absolutely varied. It's you know, yeah, I'll check out Reset Era. I'll check out YouTube. I'll see what the latest influencers are talking about, which is a whole other thing that Jeff works on. So, you know, it's the great thing about my day is that it's different all the time. Whether I'm doing PR, sometimes I'm working with marketing, sometimes I'm working with engineering. So it's all over the place. It's fantastic. Do we have a little friend joining us? He lost his mic.
We got a Portillo disconnect. We had a Portillo disconnect. He walked through the wires, disconnected.
Portillo, how are you?
Am I heard? Can I be heard? Everything's back?
Yes, you're loud. Perfect. 5x5, as we say. 5x5.
See, we joked about it when we were off air. You were like, what's going to happen? Like, anybody could walk in the background or do whatever. You're talking about your wife, your kid. I'm talking about this wiener dog who's walking away right now to go screw something else up.
He's had it. He's had it with you. He's like, yeah,
He's sabotaged.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. So my day is a little bit varied. I mean, I will say this is, I do miss the office.
Oh,
I miss being able to talk to some folks and go out to lunch and have those moments. But yeah, it's different.
So talk to me about that, right? Because this is different. And again, I was making the joke about 2020 ringing it in, thinking about this year of launching the Series X. What has it been like to have to be, and I assume, tell me if I'm talking out of turn, to be this nimble, to adjust and shift strategies on how you, I assumed, planned on revealing this console, announcing different beats, doing all these different things. How crazy has that been?
It's great. I mean, the fact that it's a little bit easier for us at Microsoft because we have so much technology. We have so much technology at our disposal and we have other teams like our Surface team or our developer evangelist team that have already figured out prior to even E3, like, okay, this is how we're going to do digital events now.
Okay.
So we're able to go talk to them and go, hey, what works and what doesn't work? So having people that aren't even in the industry, but an event is an event. You want people to get together. You want to teach them or show them or demo them. They're all essentially, the denominator is all the same. So we were able to lean on a lot of their expertise. And then we kind of say, okay, that's good to know. Let's try this. Now our audience is a little slightly different. So we're going to tweak it accordingly and we're going to try new things. I don't think there's a clear path yet. I mean, it's people just want to play great games.
Yeah.
Right. So let's show them that.
It seems like a good point to pop in. What have you been playing? What's the great stuff you've been playing lately?
Well, you can see this is actually my dashboard up the back here. All Humans, because I loved when that came out back in the day.
Of course,
it's just stupid fun seeing that. Checking out Grounded. I know you've been playing that on Game Pass.
I like Grounded preview. A lot. Yeah, I was really surprised. I didn't think, like, on a not textbook, but on a pitch of it when they first dropped, and it was like, you know, Obsidian's just coming off Outer Worlds, obviously, and it was like, all right, cool, yeah, and like, and we're doing Grounded, and it's this smaller survival. I was like, I don't know about that. Survival games aren't my thing. And when I turned it on after I saw it at the showcase, saw the new trailer, I was like, this looks cool. And then popped in on launch day, or you know, early access day, and was like, holy crap, like this is so much fun. This is like way more than I thought it was. It's not a punishing survival game. It is about exploration. I think just the little tidbit of story they were able to drop in there before it runs out. I was like, I want more of these characters. I want more of this world.
Yeah, so it's in previous. I'm checking that. I've been hitting Apex all the time. I mean, I'm just kind of going through and figuring out what's in there. But I just, to be honest with you, I haven't had as much time to play as I want to because it's July/almost August. We're launching a console in a few months. So things are quite busy. Not only that, but if you're, you know, for those of you who don't know, I'm in Seattle and the weather finally got nice here. So I frankly want to go out and get some vitamin D because I've been lacking it, as you can tell.
That's just a lifetime of it. That's our normal gamer hue. We're not able to ditch that, I don't think, as easily. You talk about that. Again, compare for me what it's like to be Major Nelson in 2020 versus Major Nelson playing games in 2001, 2002, 2003 as you're doing all this. Because like you've grown up. You're a dad? How do you balance it all?
I have an incredibly, incredibly understanding wife who understands that this is not only your job, but it's your passion. So she's very good about that. And I don't want to abuse that part of our relationship. But it's very different because back then, you know, as you know, the games industry, we were kind of fringe. We're kind of like this weird, now we're bigger than Hollywood. So the fact that I have gone mainstream with the industry has been an amazing thing. I mean, I remember calling Call of Duty, doing shoutcasting or whatever they used to call it back in the day, right? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And doing that back in 2008, 2009. And I was like, this is going to be pretty big. And it continues to be, you know, phenomenal. And that was the moment that, you know, Twitch really became something and YouTube and being able to broadcast, whether it's from your PC or your phone. I mean, it's the fidelity you get from our PCs in for anybody can do it. I mean, not that you're anybody, I'm just saying, but everybody can produce these high
quality.
Any old
chucklehead with glasses
and a microphone. they can do it. So it's really democratized a lot of that. Whereas when I was growing up, it was a lot of, you know, hey, you know, it's really expensive to do these shows and all the rest of that. And now it's pretty much anybody can do it. So that part of it's different. The gaming is just, it's just so you're always connected. And whether it's, you know, whether it's because you have a phone or whether you have, you know, which is another phenomenon that's taken off over the past 10 to 12 years. but just we're always connected. And so the struggle now, whereas back then it was, how do I connect and do matchmaking and find a game and kind of get social? The struggle is exactly the opposite. It's like, how do I disconnect? How do I get away from that and just kind of focus?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the focus has got to be the whole part of it, right? Of like the amount of times, when I turn on and I get pinged of, do you want to play this? Do you want to do that? I'm like, no, I need to turn all this off, hide myself online, and just play what I was going to go play.
Right. You need some me time.
Yeah, exactly. Is that in short supply, though? I mean, being a dad, working from home, having a wife. Yeah.
I mean, that's why I was surprised. My daughter was born, you know, she's 3 years old. And so she was born right around when Red Dead 2 came out, a little bit before that. So the fact I was able to finish that in an amount of time is extraordinary, because that game is just so deep. So my gaming time, much like everybody, is a fixed amount, and it's just higher value now. I have to be very careful about what I'm playing and very prescriptive. Like, okay, this I can probably spend, you know, an hour in this, then maybe go check that out for a half an hour. I'm famously known for dipping in and out of games, and that's on game designers to be able to hook you within the first 15 minutes, right?
I'm the same way. Yeah. It's that thing. And then granted, of course, we're in privileged positions of playing a whole bunch of stuff, being tastemakers, if you will. And so, if I jump in and it is that thing of like, this isn't grabbing me, and somebody's like, oh, well, it gets great 8 hours in. I'm like, I do not have the 8 hours to give.
A friend of mine is famously, one of our producers is famous for saying that, is like, oh, you just got to play the first 3 or 4 hours. And again, I'm like, I said, I'm sure, but I don't have that time.
Yeah. So. And I mean, you remember it as well as I do, but I remember when I started in 2007, right? Like, it was possible to play everything of consequence. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there were slow months that you could get in there and catch up on things.
Yeah, February and March were always great times to do that. You know, the other thing that's interesting is, you know, I've been gaming for quite some time, is that games have gotten, frankly, easier. You know, back in the day when I started playing, I'm not going to date myself, but I mean, I was playing Zork.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the internet to go look up. I don't know how to open the mailbox. I used to have to go hang out at a computer store that was frankly 20 minutes away in the back, where they had the manuals and the discs in a plastic Ziploc bag, and hope somebody came in and say, oh, you're playing that? Hey, can I ask you a question? Did you get this far? How do you do this?
Totally.
You know, or wait till the magazine covered it 3 months later. So it's so different now, where I can just tweet out, I can't beat this boss, what do I do? Oh, it's easy. You know, so everything is immediate and at your fingertips.
The fact that you can type in exactly what your question is in your head into Google, and then boom, there you are. It's there.
And it autofills. Yeah, right.
Exactly. It autofills. You don't even have to try for it.
How do I get on Game Over Greggy's show? Here it is.
Ask him. It was easy. There it was. Talk to me about this then. When you start down this path with Xbox, and like, you get on there and you're going to be this community liaison, right? You're going to be the cruise director of Xbox Live.
Yep.
Do you look at that job when they pitch it to you and expect there to be an expiration date? Like, are you like, I'm going to do this for a little while, or did you expect to be Major Nelson forever in perpetuity?
I expected I was going to do this for a few years. We launched the console, we're having some success, and then I'll find something else. What happened was, I found myself having too much fun and enjoying this, and the challenges were there. Certainly, you know, you talked about the launch of Xbox One in 2013. That was, you know, there was a lot of learnings that came out of that, and I was like, we grew as communicators and storytellers. So that was really valuable. So it's when you're not learning, that's the time to pull up stakes and to move on. And I'm constantly learning, and I just love it. I want to be the best I can possibly be, whatever that is.
What I love about you being there so long and doing it so long is that I think it speaks to the service you're offering, the personality you are. Because I think the usual thing, even in especially in my neck of the woods, when we're talking about being a whatever press personality, influencer, or whatever, YouTube person, is that we all have expiration dates, right? Like, eventually somebody's not going to want to listen to a 40-year-old Greg Miller, a 45-year-old Greg Miller, and it's like, I'm like, I don't know if that's true. I don't believe that, and I think you're such an example of it. Of when you get on there and you are the face of Xbox Live at the time, even. Mm-hmm. Video games, for kids, teens, young people. Like, they're obviously, as they get older, they'll fade out. New kids will come in and they won't want to listen to Major Nelson. They'll want to listen to someone more a contemporary for them.
Sure.
Have you found that to be untrue? Have you, I know you've built a team around, obviously, you now that sure. also is out there talking.
Sure. Yes, it certainly is true. I mean, I the most important thing that I can tell folks is know who you are and what you are. You know, there's three, I don't think I've ever talked about these publicly, but I have three Perfect. Major rules. Yeah, there you go. Here's your scoop.
Here's my exclusive.
Three major rules for when I do videos and inside Xbox. Don't make me look fat, old, or stupid.
Perfect.
So the fat thing, they really can't help because I am.
I was going to say that my team gave up on don't let making me look fat a long time ago.
But I mean, and I don't mean to be disparaging, but I mean, I want to do the right thing, and I know what I am, and I'm somebody who has been in this games industry for a long time. I'm not some 20-year-old hip YouTuber or, you know, TTV Wraith player. I'm just not.
Yeah.
You know, I am somebody who knows this industry, who knows game developers. I know how game development works. I know how console development works. I mean, I'm coming up on, Greg, my third console launch. I challenge you to find anybody who has worked on three consecutive consoles at the same company. They're very rare. I'm in a very rare club. So, you know, I know that there's a younger audience. What's interesting, Greg, to your point, is I have met people when we could meet people back in the day who would come up to me and say, oh, I listened to you in high school, and now I'm in my late 20s and I have a family. Here's my son who loves you. That's just awesome. Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
The fact that I'm now transcending generations as somebody, look, I just want to tell people, here's what's going on at Xbox. Here's some cool stuff. Probably like you. I'm a nerd. I work on crazy stuff like, you know, I'm installed security cameras. I was doing Cat 5 cables. I'm doing home automation stuff. I'm a nerd. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
So I just happen to work at a company that on a product that is kind of the center of gravity for a lot of nerddom, video games.
What you just said, I think, is interesting, right? Because, again, I don't think anybody can argue your credentials, and especially the way that, like, you've been so involved and hands-on in a way I think maybe at first glance or first blush people wouldn't expect from, you know, oh, the face of Xbox Live or something like that. Do you give it even the time of day when you say something or when you want to go somewhere and there's a YouTube comment or a tweet that's just like, oh, this guy's just a mouthpiece for Xbox. He's just there to go rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, you know what? I love that because they just don't understand me. Yeah. You know, and it's fine if that's what you want to think. I mean, I'm not gonna go out there and try to correct you. I will try to help you understand what I do. I will try to help you if you're interested in learning. But you know, I also like to point out that I am in a great position where I get to talk about the great work that the men and women do on Xbox, what these people do. I always say that they have the hardest job. I walk in a room, Greg, and I'm surrounded by these engineers and they're smart. I feel like the dumbest person in the room sometimes.
I know that one well.
I don't know what's going on here. But my job is to talk to them and understand what they're doing and help tell their story. Yeah. They do all the work. Yeah. I get to help tell their story and tell, and I enjoy that so much. So yeah, there's absolutely a part of me that sees the, oh, that old guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, boomer. Yeah, whatever. Okay. that's fine. You know, I'll tell you stories about some video games and it's a business. I know it from the business side. I know it from the creative side.
Yeah.
I know it from the communication side. I know it from the marketing side. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So let me know.
That's one of those things, you know, on top of Xbox and, you know, the entire ecosystem, but starting with Xbox, the original, and then moving on, right, of being so influential, like you're talking about, of the invention of achievements, doing these different things, I think they were also so ahead of the game in putting a face to it, having someone like yourself that could talk to the audience and could be on Twitter and could interact this way. And even to your point of telling stories, right, like I still remember in my early days of IGN when it was like, Bethesda was building an editorial blog team and, you know, like Ubisoft was getting an editorial. And that was like, I remember people in IGN being like, why are they trying to take our job? Like, why are they trying to take our jobs or whatever? And it's like, you were already doing that. You were already like the test case for all that.
Well, okay. Now here's another scoop for you. So I would get contacted from a lot of large publishers and just say the email or the phone call was as simple as, we want to do a Major Nelson. Okay, stop. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Because, you know, if I were to try to do this today, I'm convinced it would not work. that I would not be as successful as I am because
why?
For what I just don't, because I think the company's in a different place. The space is different. Now everybody has a Twitter account. It's just, it's so, I don't know. It's everybody can do everything. Everybody's an expert, Greg. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
But I mean, I would hope it would work, but I would have companies come to me and I would help them and say, here's what you want to do, maybe to build a blog and talk about, and here's how you think about the journalists versus what your story you want to tell. So I still to this day work a lot with those folks, a lot of different folks from small developers all the way up to AAA developers and publishers on what are they trying to do and try to help them out. You know, as the platform is kind of the peak of the pyramid, where the platform, we're kind of at the top, I can kind of see all the way down and kind of see how things are going and which way the winds are blowing and help them be better.
Do you think most of those companies let me retract that. Do you think most companies trying to do this are doing it right? Like, you talk about people who are coming to help you. Clearly, I think if they're reaching out for help from you or like advice, then they're interested in it. They want to do it for the right reasons. They have this.
They do have the right reasons. But the question is, does the organization as a whole have the ability to support that approach?
Gotcha.
And part of it is, when I started doing what I was doing, I was so under the radar. I was so under the radar that nobody really knew what I was doing. All of a sudden, it was like, boom. So it's so different now, where everything is, you know, got to have the PowerPoint deck. And a lot of the stuff I was doing was just seat of the pants going, this feels right. We should do this. Yeah, I do occasional PowerPoint decks, but this feels right. Let's try this. And if it doesn't work, we'll try something else. So the organization is more a indicator of the success versus the individual or the program.
Gotcha. Even though you still have to do decks, is like Xbox and Microsoft still open to those ideas from you? Like, let's get weird. Let's do something.
Yeah, I mean, I've relaunched my podcast to do video only to take on, Game Over Greggy, right? I've relaunched that. We've tried a bunch of different things. I've done all the video stuff. I'm still doing, you know, this week on Xbox. I don't know if you know this, but I do today on Xbox, which is an Alexa skill. I voice that every day in my home studio here. So that's, it's awesome. Like, let's try this and we'll see how that works. So we're just trying different things that some work and some don't. You know, it's great when you have the MBAs drift in and present to you a 30-page deck of, well, I think we should go after influencers. Really? Yeah, I think we should.
Take me way back. How did you get interested in radio? That's what you originally wanted to do, right? Like, was that, were you in school wanting to do that? Was that the idea?
That was, so I went to Syracuse University, which is a storied, I went to Newhouse School of Communications.
Gotcha.
Which I majored in television, radio, film production. So I spent hours, hundreds of hours in television studios. And I just got really interested in radio. And my dad, who has passed away when I was quite young, was working on some, he didn't work in the industry. And he knew somebody that worked at the radio station. And he basically got me an internship. And so in between I think it was sophomore and junior year at Syracuse, is I went to work in Hartford, at Hartford, Connecticut, in radio. And I was excited because I was producing the morning show. Now, the gentleman I was producing with, who I have since become very good friends with, I despised, because I'd go in at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'd pull all the carts. Back in the day, we had cartridges, which were, you know, with all the songs were on the, like, 8 tracks.
Yeah.
And he was moody. He was young and moody. And he would, what is this? And he'd throw it at my head. And it was a contact sport. But I learned the value of telling a story without pictures. No pictures. Got to tell the story with your voice and how to tell it verbally and with words. And so I learned from him that. I learned how to present. I spent hundreds of hours doing live remotes at car dealers all over Southern Connecticut. I could tell you stories about that.
Give me your best. When you think of it, when you think of the stories, what's the best story?
There's so many. I'll just say I'm not a fan of car dealers. I'll just say that. I find them to be slightly unsavory.
Sure. Okay.
The dealers themselves. But I mean, look, there's parts of that in every business. I'll say that. So I got into it early and I realized this is kind of cool. Let me make a career out of it. And then I kind of took a little bit of time off and I went and worked in producing television commercials. For local cable inserts. So remember hi, I'm Bob from Bob's Discount Furniture. Totally, you know, totally. I did all those where he would.
Did you really do the Bob Discount Furniture ones?
I remember Bob. I worked with him. Okay. Yes.
Holy.
Yeah. But I worked with, you know, I would write the scripts and go meet with the client. The client would say, no, 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 I want to have my kid in here. And I'd have to figure out a way to get their kid in. So that all of that. And then I would shoot it and edit it and produce it and do the whole nine yards and get it on the air. So I did that for a while. And then I went back into radio doing promotions marketing and worked my way up. This is during the consolidation years in the mid 90s where, hey, it's a great idea. Let's have one company own five stations.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? Right. So, and then, you know, we kind of talked about what I did, but when we were doing this, because again, nerd,
yeah,
I was like, wait a minute, we can put our radio station on this thing called the internet, Greg.
Yeah.
People can listen to us through their home computers with Windows 95. And so I was, well, let me put up a real server. And I had it under my desk and we would stream out to the internet. So I was one of the first people to put our radio stations online. That's awesome. I was doing that back in the day and it was huge and it was phenomenal. And then that's kind of one of the entrees into Microsoft. And then Microsoft came to me in mid-90s and said, we're about to launch Windows 95. We want you to help us run some of their online forums. So this was MSN, the very first MSN. So I was working in radio and my side hustle, as they call it now, the night job, whatever you want to call it, my second gig, was running communities on MSN. So I ran the television community on MSN for quite some time. And through that, my wife would help me and she launched a whole career of interviewing celebrities and did all that. So I did that for a few years. And then that's how I got to know the inner workings of Microsoft. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, totally. That's exactly what I was looking for. You did it. You laid it out perfectly. You know how to paint. I could have closed my eyes. I didn't need to see you. You painted it perfectly.
It's one of those things, Greg, where every decision that I made with my career as I went through, I'm like, I don't know if this is going to lead to anything. Maybe it didn't lead to anything then, but looking back, the fact that when I sit in Xbox meetings and I can lean on the marketing I did with radio, because that's all it is talking to the fans, right?
Yeah.
It's because we did that in radio all the time. Hey, we're doing a live remote. We're doing this. We're doing that. Yeah, that's all it is. And the podcast started because when in radio, I worked with a gentleman by the name of Adam Curry. Adam Curry was a VJ at MTV.
Thank you. I know the name. Why do I know the name?
And go look him up on Wikipedia. He essentially came up with the idea of podcasting. And when I did my very first podcast, I sent it to him and he helped me develop it and he understood it because it was just radio. And so I was using everything that decade in radio and I brought it forward and reinvented it and reimagined it, as the kids say, for podcasting.
That's awesome.
I can't see the chat. Are they enjoying this? I can't tell.
I look over at it. Yeah. CJ Rock says 32 says, wow, Leonardo, that's nuts. Yeah, people are having a great time.
Okay, hold on.
Here you go. Black Leader_ goes, bro, ... I didn't know that Major Nelson was the guy. You're the guy to him. They're into it. They've caught up. They're all about it.
There's another comment that says one of the Podfathers. I like that. I like that nickname right there, the Podfather.
Ooh, Podfather. That's a good name. That is a good name. Yeah. I remember those days when I'd have to try to explain to people what we were doing. Like I'd be walking around GDC recording things and they'd be like, we're doing a podcast. We do podcasts. What's a podcast? I'm like, it's a radio show you download. You can just download a radio show.
And I remember when I was one of my podcasts, it was 2007 or 8, where I got a message from Bill Gates, was still our CEO at that point.
Yeah.
At Microsoft. They wanted to do a podcast with me. And so I interviewed Bill on a podcast and it was just unbelievable to be able to do that.
Was it? I mean, yeah. Like right now you're talking about, oh my God, Phil Spencer on the Microsoft version of Slack. I can do this. I can talk that. At that point, are you just like shaking with the paper? Like, do you see Bill Gates often in the office or not your gravel pit? Does he come down to the gravel pit and throw a body?
Not that I was ever aware of. But no, I mean, that was one of my first and only times I've ever met him. And he was such an amazing person because he just came in, sat down, we did it. And as I was asking him questions and as he was answering them, I could tell he was only using 5% of his brain. It's like he was solving problems elsewhere. Yeah. It's hard to describe, but he was just he was there, yet multitasking to a level I've never seen before.
That's incredible. So now, this is an interesting way to take it, I think. But like, When you, what is your advice right now for people who want to do what you do, that want to do internet video, podcast, stuff like that? Like, how do you
do it? Do it.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than and easier than ever before. The fact that I had to, you know, I had to go out and buy a $500 digital recorder and figure out how to work that and all of this. It's so easy. You can be on the air like that. But the most important thing is find your voice. Know who you are. Know who you're not. And kind of, you may not know, and I tell people this frequently, you may not know the exact address you want to go to with your project, but know the zip code. And then you'll know the area, and then you'll know the street, and then you'll know the exact house that you'll want to go to. And that's the way I think of a career. Kind of know where you want to go, and then you'll zoom in on it.
If I didn't have reader questions, I'd end the interview right there, because that's like the most sage wisdom that's ever been said on We Have Cool Friends. But that's great. That is awesome. Good job, Larry. It's like you've talked about stuff on the radio. And
well, I'm passionate about this because I think I've had such a, I mean, I'm nowhere near the end of my career, but I've had such a blessed life of coming up from a family. My dad died when I was young. I had two sisters. My family didn't work in entertainment. My mom, God bless her, she's still here. She bought us an Atari 2600, and we played that. And I was like, I'm controlling the screen. It was a magical moment. So I've actually had my mom on my podcast in the past. It's a lot
That's
of fun.
Awesome.
Apparently, I never knew this. She was like a nerd. She used to build her own PCs. It was fantastic.
Really? Wow.
Yes. And I That's never, awesome. I was like, did I get this from my dad? And my dad passed away, so I don't know this. What? Turns out it's from my mom.
So, how young were you when your dad passed?
I was 22 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 22 years old. He was an alcoholic and a diabetic. And he left the house when I was young, and he got his act together. And then I graduated college, and he started coming back into my life, and it's the classic tragic story where we started getting closer, and he was really interested. He saw my beginning of my radio career.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately the diabetes just overtook his life.
Wow. That's powerful. I'm sorry about that.
No, yeah. Well, it's one of those things that he, you know, and I, you think someone's always going to be there.
Yep. Take it for granted, right?
You take it for granted. I'll never forget that. I got that call that morning from my stepmother, and I was like, oh, I hung up the phone, Greg, and I didn't know what to do. I was so emotional. And this is a true story. I got in the car and I drove to Radio Shack. For some reason, those stores were like comfort to me. Because
sure.
I knew it was a nerd. And I remember buying this, like, I think it was a set of screwdrivers that I still have to this day that I don't know. I didn't need them.
I was going to say, you don't need the screwdrivers.
But it was like this, I didn't have anybody to talk to. And I just, it's so anyway, it's, you know, nobody should ever lose a parent when they're young. And it was terrible. So.
Sure.
I didn't need to take it a dark
turn. We Who Have Cool Friends does this kind of stuff all the time where everybody's having a good old laugh and then it's serious town. Don't worry. We'll get you to the ad in the friend zone in a second and I'll be back to the cheery time. But how much of that have you carried now to being a father? Like, is that one of those things of like, you're like, I won't do this. I won't do that. I'm on a very specific track.
Yeah, a little bit. One of them was I talked about my dad being an alcoholic and I made a decision when I was like 11 years old. I said, I'm not going to drink. So I have never had a drop of alcohol.
Wow.
Because I just, I don't know if it's genetic. I don't know if I'm going to like,
sure.
I just don't know. So I have completely, that is not even a function of what I do. It's not even in my vernacular. I don't care. It's nothing. So you can't miss something you've never had.
Sure.
So, so, you know, it's when I look at my daughter, she, you know, I just want to make sure that my dad was a good dad. He tried his best, but then he just wasn't there and he succumbed. So my job is I don't ever want to do that. And I don't want to succumb to something, an addiction, whether it's alcohol, whether it's, you know, whether it's French fries, whether it's big, sure. Whatever it is. I want to make sure that I am there for her. And I just, when she comes into my office and like, if she's not home now, if she were to come in right now, I'd put her right on my lap. I'm not,
totally.
I wanted to, and I explained to her what I do. We don't play video games together. We have zero screen time for her.
Really?
We focus on physical and we focus on books.
When do you plan on introducing screens?
I don't know the answer to that.
She
and I say no screen time because when I think of that, I think of like
sure. Yeah.
But I will say this, is we do watch Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
And that's it. Wow. And there's a connection to a Mr. Rogers. May I tell this connection?
Yes, you may. It's your podcast, sir.
So when I talked about back in, do we have time? I don't know if we have any time.
It's on you. How much time do you have? So my next commitment is playing Halo Combat Evolved at 2 p.m. So don't worry about it.
We'll have to wrap it up after this. But the story is that back, I talked about, you know, working for MSN, running the television forums back in 95 as, you know, running those communities. And my wife was working with me at that point. And she was booking guests and doing online chats when those were big things. And yeah. she booked a chat with Mr. Rogers. She used to host them. And it was a big deal. It's like 95 or 96. And she came, and Mr. Rogers people called her and said, hey, we're going to be up in your area in New England shooting a segment with Eric Carle, who's this kid's artist. You probably know his stuff if you saw it.
Okay.
So she went up and spent the day with him. They spent the day. She came back. I was still working my gig in radio. And I said, oh, how was it? Because she never grew up with Mr. Rogers. I did.
Okay.
So we're sitting at the dinner table. She's like, it's kind of creepy. I said, really? I said, okay. You don't really understand. Few months later, she did the chat. And that's it. About 5 months ago, we're sitting in our living room, my wife's like, I said, why don't we watch Mr. Rogers? She's like, no, I don't want to have screen time. I said, how about just a half hour, Mr. Rogers? Because everybody loves Mr. Rogers.
Yep.
So she's like, all right. So I said, I don't know. How am I going to find them? They're not online. Turns out we had Amazon Prime and there's some on Amazon Prime. So I'm excited. I fire it up. We're in the other room. I sit them down. My wife, I give her the remote. I said, okay, you want to pick a episode to watch? So she picks an episode, starts watching it. And I'm sitting off in the corner and I'm kind of working on my laptop, kind of watching them. And about 10 minutes in, I look over and my wife has tears streaming down her cheeks. I said, what's wrong? She said, this is my episode. I've never seen it. The episode that she was on set for in 1997 that she never saw the final product. She was now sitting with our daughter 23 years later, watching that as her very first episode. Wow. And it was a powerful, powerful moment because she now understood the magic of Mr. Rogers and how he talked to kids.
Yeah.
And that's something that I will never forget that moment. The universe was like, I was like, what? So
that's
my mind.
Incredible. That's incredible. I know you got to go. So let me do two things. Number one, the ad was going to be a joke about the Kind of Funny XCast. Remember, we have an Xbox podcast now. It posts every Saturday, 6 a.m., youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. Search for the Kind of Funny XCast. You, Larry, are on it this week with Alana Pierce and Snowbike Mike to talk all things Xbox. I'm very excited for that.
Love it.
Then I have two questions from the friend zone. I'll make it short. People wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Patrick wrote in with not even a question. He says, hey, Larry and Greg, no question. Just wanted to say thank you, Larry. Your podcast was the very first I regularly listened to so many years ago with Laura E. and Steptoe. Did I get that right?
Steptoe.
Name the Game was the best segment. Thank you for being a positive voice in the industry.
Thank you very much. I love that. Steptoe, who's since passed away, he used to be the enforcement manager for Xbox Live. And so I miss him. And Laura has moved on. She's an engineer at Apple and he works at Pokemon. So that was a magical time for me. I loved it.
And I think, you know, you already touched on it, of course, like people coming up and be like, I listen to your show and now my son listens to the show and how awesome that is. Like for people who have been making content for any length of time, that's the coolest thing to see people who have started it, found you blindly somehow, and then now they're with you or whatever have gone on.
I am honored to be part of their family.
Exactly. And then your final question, and you'll get way more Xbox questions on the XCast. Juan Lobo writes in and says, good morning, Greg and Major Nelson. What is your best moment / memory of working at Xbox? Thanks for all you do.
I kind of talked a little bit about the achievements. One.
That's a cool one.
Anytime we ship a console, It is special. I still have up in my upstairs office, I still have my original Xbox 360 signed by Bill Gates. I still have my original Xbox One. I have they're still in the package. They have never been out of the package. So I think anytime we ship a console, it's tremendously special. Anytime I go out in public when we could go out in public and I run into somebody who is a fan, that to me makes it all worthwhile. And being able to talk to people like Greg and being able to see this industry become what it's become and such a force of nature, and it's something that's no longer kids are playing in their basement to let's all play in the living room together, to me is really special. So there's so many. Working at Xbox is just working on the Xbox 360, where it had a very finite beginning and a very finite end. That is a chapter of my life that is one of my happiest.
Larry, you're one of the good ones. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Great. Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Like I said, this is the start of Major Nelson's Kind of Funny Weekend. You can catch him on Kind of Funny Games Daily tomorrow, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 11 a.m. to 10 a.m. live. Sorry, I was thinking of this show. Then later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. And like I said, Saturday on the Kind of Funny XCast Episode 3. Kind of Funny everywhere. You can find it. Don't worry about it. Our next cool friend is on Monday. It's going to be Sean Kittleson. If you don't know the name, you know his work. He's one of the writers on Mortal Kombat 11, Injustice 2, and his new comic book, Heart Attack, is out from Skybound and Image right now. Volume 1 is kind of like a Greg's Comic Book Club. Read that because it's out. You can get it right now. Heart Attack, Sean Kittleson. Larry, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you for, more importantly, everybody who's taken the time to listen to me for the past hour. I love chatting with you. I could go another 2 hours with you. I have many, 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 many more stories to tell and many more stories yet to be written.
That's why I booked you on so many shows. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.